At the age of reason, I was placed on a train, the shades drawn, my life, course, and destination already determined. At the age of 45, I pulled the emergency cord and ran out into the world. It was a decision that meant no less than a new life, a new course, a new destination. I was born again in my 45th year. The previous me was not me. It was a self-image I had thrust upon me. It was the person I had accepted myself to be. But I had been playing a role. It took me a long time to discover that the key to acting is honesty, an actor told anthropologist Edmund Carpenter. Once you know how to fake that, you've got it made. In time, we fool even ourselves. Sooner or later, however, we come to question the trip planned for us, the goals we are given, our itinerary to death. Sooner or later, the self-image becomes not worth preserving. The person we are presumed to be seems unsatisfactory and inadequate. Sooner or later, it becomes important that we feel important and have the feeling that what we are doing is important. When I stepped off that train, I had lost my sense of purpose, my faith in what I was doing, my caring for creation and its creatures. And when I stepped from that train, I found I was not alone. Millions of Americans who had been told Sunday after Sunday to be born again were now going through the shattering experience of rebirth. Only the experts don't call it that. They call it middle-aged melancholia, or a new cultural phenomenon of the fourth and fifth decade, or more simply, change of life. The authorities agree that we come upon this stage of our life unprepared for the reality of advancing years and receding rewards. White-collar worker, blue-collar worker, housewife, and career woman, no one seems immune to the crisis that sets in after the 40s get underway. Each of us in our own way comes to this revelation and faces the problem of living according to the person we really are. This is not only inevitable, it is desirable. He who does not really feel himself lost, wrote Ortega, is lost beyond remission. He never finds himself, never comes up against his own reality. Finding one's reality does not come without plan or effort. Being born again is no easy task. Technique and training and much hard work are needed, and we are always faced with the knowledge that it is an undertaking that will never be completed. Every day will be a fresh start. Most experts suggest we make a new start in a new career, develop new interests. I say begin at the beginning. Begin with the body. The body mirrors the soul and the mind and is much more accessible than either. Become proficient at listening to your body and you will eventually hear from your totality, the complex, unique person you are. I did it that way. I stepped off that train and began to run. And in that hour, a day of perfecting my body, I began to find out who I was. I discovered that my body was a marvelous thing and learned that any ordinary human can move in ways that have excited painters and sculptors since the beginning of time. I didn't need the scientists to tell me that man is a microcosm of the universe, that he contains the 92 elements of the cosmos in his body. In the creative action of running, I became convinced of my own importance, certain that my life had significance. Fitness may have something to do with this. The physiologists have shown us that those who remain the perpetual athlete are two or even three decades younger physically than their contemporaries. And with this comes an awareness, physical intelligence, a sensual connection with everything around you that enlarges your existence. If decreases in the body's function are due to non-use and not to aging, it is unreasonable to suggest that our mental and psychological and spiritual capabilities deteriorate the same way. If so, our rebirth will be a long and difficult task. It will begin with the creative use of the body, in the course of which we must explore pain and exhaustion as closely as pleasure and satisfaction. It will end only when we have stretched our minds and souls just as far. But there is an alternative. You can always get back on the train. That's from George Sheehan's On Running.
You're listening to Lost Trail Runner Podcast. This is Ron, coming to you from little town of Lilburn, northeast of Atlanta in the state of Georgia. I do most of my running at Stone Mountain Park, which is located approximately 6 miles from my palatial podcasting studio. My blog is located at losttrailrunner.blogspot.com. Let's hit the trail and go running.
And now, here's our host to tell you more about what's coming up next.
This is episode 64 of the Lost Trail Runner Podcast. In this episode, Laura and I go to Stone Mountain and do an hour run and talk about our Disney half marathon and various other subjects. Hope you enjoy it. Okay, we'll go over Disney first of all. Huh?
I am running connected to my dad. That is not right.
It's just two mics hooked to the recorder. Okay. You got a good 5-10 feet here.
Okay.
You just have to run my pace.
This might feel like that.
Ooh.
Oh my gosh. The blind person that ran the Disney that has
a tether
lead.
Oh well. It'll work.
Which is amazing to me that somebody that's blind can do that.
Why? A lot of people do that are blind.
I know, but that's good.
Yep.
Ah. Oh, good. It's time to walk.
We're doing a 30-30 today.
Because this is
our first run.
After Disney.
In a week.
Because we've been snowed and iced in, and the treadmill is not my favorite thing to do.
In mine either. I did 2 miles on it yesterday, walking.
I did 2 miles Thursday walking, so I guess that's not bad.
Okay, you can tell me about the half marathon, since I only saw you until we put our bags away.
Yeah, we got separated.
Caught in a traffic jam coming out of the tents.
Yes.
I don't know what that was about.
Your lane moved faster than my lane.
What do you mean?
They were letting you all drop your bags quicker.
Oh.
But
yeah, but when you came out the other side of the tent, everybody was just jammed up. Let's go on this side of the road. It's less icy.
Yes. But I pretty much stuck to my... first of all, it was interesting to be able to listen to Jeff Galloway live at the expo.
Oh, before the race?
And listen to what people... questions people had and the answers that he gave.
Ah, ice.
And
some people didn't want to hear him.
Yeah. Yeah, that one man standing next to me said he would never finish the race. Well, to that man,
he would probably finish it faster, really.
Out there, I ran the Disney 12 years ago, trying to run it, and finished almost 15 minutes faster than I did 12 years ago.
More than 15 minutes, more like
15.
A half hour.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, well, what did you do it in?
No, I did it in...
2:38.
Yeah.
First time, 2:23 this time.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I did run 2, walk 30 the entire time with the exception of the first mile. I ran the whole first mile.
You cheated.
Which Jeff said not to do. So I don't know if that made a difference because
I did 2:30 the whole time.
No matter.
Except for the last mile and a tenth.
No matter the whatever training run or running in the race, 10 miles is enough.
What do you mean?
The last 3 miles is just like...
You suffered?
Okay, I'm done. No, I didn't suffer at all.
What did you
but
do?
I was like thinking these last 3 miles were never going to end.
Oh.
The last 3 miles. And
well, you finished faster than I did.
I don't know how. Well, I mean, I stuck to my... There were a couple times where I was like, I really didn't want to run when my beeper went off. But I did anyway.
Well, that's a good thing about the gym boss, is it?
Because...
He's kind of like a coach. It makes you go ahead and do it.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of like, oh, the alarm's going off. I got to run. And I feel like I was happy to be under a 10-11 minute average.
Yeah.
Which, according to Jeff, I think if you do that 2:30, you should be in the 10 minute, right?
Yeah.
Didn't he say, or is it 12?
I don't know. 2:30 should be probably 10 or faster.
Yeah, well.
Just depending how fast you run your run parts.
But I will say there towards the end, I felt like I was passing people.
Probably were.
Because people were starting to slow down. So.
Well, my leg hurt the whole race, but it didn't bother me. I mean, not any worse than it usually does, like doing these runs.
Right.
Until about 11 miles.
That's...
Started hurting worse. Because we came around that curve where you go up over the
hills.
Bridge.
The only hills on the whole course were at the end. So you're right. I'm like, this is not right.
And that overpass over the main road.
Yeah.
When you're going up it, it's banked.
Yeah.
And that, I think that's what made my leg hurt more.
Right.
So I suffered a little bit the 11th mile, and then when I got to the 12th mile, I said, well, now's the time to make up all the time. I didn't, but I ran faster.
Right. The those two hills, that's a mental thing. I think my mental whatever, I don't know if we can go this way.
We just turn around and go back the way we came. Ready?
Yeah. Whatever. You know, you hit a mental block at a certain time. That was mine. At like 2 miles left, my brain was going, oh my gosh, why are we doing this? So
I found the secret to that. I'm reading Dean Karnazes' book, 50 Marathons in 50 Days or whatever it is.
Right.
And he said in that book that if you keep the levels up of sugar to your brain, you don't have those things.
Well, that's what Jeff was saying too.
So
that's why it's important during those water breaks to take even sugar cubes, he said.
So I had my hammer gel, and I was taking a squirt of it every time we'd go by a water stop.
Right.
So at the very end of the race, even though I was hurting, I wasn't going, oh.
Oh, I was.
You know.
I was going.
Maybe you should have taken more gel. Let's go on this side.
I should have took some more of my shot blocks.
Yeah.
Because I didn't use all my shot blocks, but I started drinking some Gatorade.
Well, you should have been using your shot blocks.
And,
okay, how are we gonna get over this? Oh, perfect timing. I think it's slush anyway.
So,
but in Karnassus's book, he said, you know, like in the, he does a really long distance stuff out, 100 milers and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And he said, if you keep the feel to your brain going,
you don't
run into that depression thing.
Right.
It's bad. I mean, at some point, you're still going to feel like crap, but
right.
You don't get so, oh, I'm going to die, I got to quit, and all that kind of stuff.
That sidewalk looks pretty okay.
That's all right. We'll try to go down here and run around that loop.
That's probably going to be.
But we'll just go down as far as we can. And maybe try to go up that road, see how frozen it is.
But one thing I was telling the few ladies at work that actually kind of kick-started this whole going back into running thing, because we were running one 5K a month.
Yeah.
And, but I told them if they wanted to do their first half marathon, mm-hmm. Disney is flat and fun, because at every mile they had characters or a band or something going on.
Yeah, people stopped and got their pictures taken with characters.
Yeah. So,
and
I
when
mean,
we came out of the Magic Kingdom in the back there in the back lot,
the pirates.
They had the pirate ship.
Yeah.
There was a line there waiting to get pictures taken when I went by.
Well, even in, what is that, where Alice in Wonderland, the teacup ride, Alice in Wonderland, there was a line there too.
Oh, was there? I didn't pay attention to that.
And, you know, that's where it's fun to get a group that's training to train for something like that, because then it's, you don't have to do it for time.
Yeah.
Or, you know. There were several places, though, that I was, I feel that I could have cut off maybe 3 minutes off of it just because of the bottlenecking. And
oh, yeah, when it narrowed down?
Yeah.
I had to slow down when we went underneath the water over by the Contemporary.
Yeah.
It got narrowed down in there.
Right. So those
and
places.
And it got narrow when we went through the castle.
Yeah, when we came out the back and got on that road.
Yeah, it was narrow there. Was the train setting at the thing when
crossing,
you went by?
Yep.
Blowing his horn?
Yep.
Yeah.
So, there were.
I overall, even though I ran a slow race, I felt it was a good one because I did what I'd planned on doing.
Right, and stuck with it.
Yeah.
So did I.
I knew it was going to be slow because of my leg, but I wanted to get through it and not be miserable, so.
Well, I was interested to see if I could stay with the 2 minutes and 30 seconds the whole entire time.
Yeah.
And I did. I didn't have any problem doing that. And, well, and I, even though a lot of our long runs we did 30-30, all my other runs I did 2 and 30, which is what I plan to do in the race.
Yeah.
And then.
Get on this side.
I ran a couple long runs doing 2 and 30.
Yeah.
And, worked good. So.
What was that?
A mile.
A mile?
Yeah, 12 minutes.
So we're going faster than our 13:30
pace,
right?
Yeah. And I'm running in new shoes.
These, you got your Brooks on?
Yes.
Your Adrenaline 11s, that's what I got on.
Yes. These I bought at the Expo.
They're comfortable shoes.
I'm trying them out because I was in Sauconies, which I ran the race in my Sauconies. And needed a couple pairs so I can rotate shoes and not wear out.
The only thing I didn't do that I'd planned on doing for that race was I was going to wear my green Silence shoes.
Oh, yeah.
but I didn't.
Why? Because,
well, since my leg was hurting, I figured my adrenaline 11s would be more cushy.
Right.
And have more shock absorption than my Green Silence.
Right.
Of course, I would have probably run like a 130 in those Green Silences just by accident, you know?
Yeah.
When I was rummaging around for the heart rate strap for this Suunto, today I found two of my half marathon certificates for like 2000, 2001 that Ryan had framed.
Yeah.
And they were like 157, 158. I'd like to get back under two. I don't know if that'll happen, but.
Well, if you get your leg better.
Maybe.
I wanted to beat the guy at work because he did the Silver Comet half marathon here in Atlanta about a couple years ago and did it in 2:09:04.
Oh.
So I was trying to beat 2:09:04, which I didn't, but.
You could if you'd have done speed work. You didn't do your intervals.
I did some.
Not very many.
I don't know if it would have made a difference.
I think it did because in the Atlanta 13.1, I did intervals.
Right.
And I did a 2:16. And then I just kind of, well, that was before my leg was hurting also.
Yeah, so.
And since my leg's been hurting, I hadn't been doing any speed work at all. So I was like 11 minutes slower.
You need to get over on this side.
Okay. Why?
Because that's got ice over there.
Well, this is just slushy. I just don't want any cars sneaking up behind us.
Well, hopefully they'll see us.
Yeah. Boom, boom. What was that, a speed bump?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I think it was two runners.
I don't know, but if I can get this... I had this congestion for about 3 weeks.
You aren't over it yet?
No. I mean, I haven't ever got sick, like, where normally you would get a cold and you would feel like crap the whole time. And I've just had this congestion that's, like, annoying. And hopefully, now that I'm back to exercising, since I, like I said, all I did was eat and sleep and do nothing for a week after we got back.
Pretty much the same thing I did. See, we can run all the way down to the end and turn around. Looks like.
Yeah, but you better be careful on this, because this is...
We'll get over there.
Well, then it's...
What?
It's slippy.
That ain't that
slippy.
Yeah,
it is.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is. It's slippier right there than it is over here.
Oh. Well, we'll just go sliding downhill.
Yeah, that's what I want to do. See, this looks slippy.
That's just wet. This stuff's melting, see? It's not ice.
This looks like ice.
That's not ice. It's just wet pavement. It kind of shines.
Yeah, yeah. That means it's... We're going on 7 days with still snow and ice on the ground.
Yeah, but it's finally starting to thaw out.
Yeah. Here comes
I hear a car. I knew when I'd come, even though there's nobody out here. Oh, it's a cop, no wonder. He'll come down here and turn around. Oh, he's probably going on a donut run, right?
Yeah.
Probably going over the BP station. he'll go out there. Ruby's. And, he'll go out there and do a U-turn, and you watch him go to the BP station.
Where are we going?
Turn around. Right here. I never did look at my overall results on Disney's website. I just went for, looked at my official time, and it was 30 seconds faster than what my Garmin said.
I know, mine
so
was.
So I don't know how, where they had the
sensor thing.
Yeah, the start.
Must have been before thing. That start thing.
Yes, I think I started mine when we went underneath the banner.
I did too, and mine was.
And the start must have, the official start must have been before that.
Yeah, because...
By 30 seconds.
Mine was 25 seconds.
So you're pretty close to what mine was.
Yeah. Oops.
What are we gonna do now? Whoa! This is true ice here. I didn't need to change lanes. How far are we gone?
1.61.
Huh?
1.61.
We're flying.
Yeah. I could have almost wore short sleeves.
Now this right here is ice.
Yeah.
That I'm running on because my feet slide.
Yeah.
Oh, now it's clear. You what? You could have worn short sleeves.
I don't think I could have wore short sleeves, but I could have not wore this jacket.
You could have worn a short sleeve shirt and arm tards.
Yeah, I could have.
If they weren't stiff as a board, you'd have washed them.
Because I haven't washed them since I got back.
You must have really been sweating if they're all crusty and stiff.
Yeah, and then I put them down my arms. So.
Oh, by the way, arm tards are Mobens, if anybody doesn't know. The sleeves. Who came up with that name, Ryan?
Yes.
Arm tards.
And I've noticed more athletes are wearing arm tards because some of the football players wore
had them on. Yep.
So
I might get another pair. Yeah. If I do that, then it'll turn warm.
Yeah.
I won't need them anymore.
That's a good idea.
See, the ones I've got are smalls. The ones I get you are mediums, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so they're probably not as tight.
Right, at the top.
Mine are really.
Oh, well, I'll switch
tight.
With you.
No, that's okay. I like my yellow ones. Glow in the darks. But I might get some navy blue ones.
Yeah, I like the navy ones.
So I think Zombie Runner, I think that's where I got them. They have a sale on. I got an email from them that if you put in a certain code, you get 10% off.
Right.
Plus free shipping.
Oh, that's good.
So I might buy a pair. That way it'll probably cost about $24, $23.
Yeah. It does actually feel like summer with the sun out.
Let's go out on the parking lot there.
We're having to maneuver around icy sidewalks and streets to find sun where there's no...
We're in the giant parking lot right now at Stone Mountain where they put the Big Apple Circus every year.
Oh, well.
When they come, they put them out there in the middle.
Oh, I didn't.
So it's a pretty big parking lot. Sometimes I run intervals on it back and forth if I'm not in the mood to go to a track. and want to run on something flatter than just my daily run courses. It's still not exactly flat, but mostly.
God, I feel like we've been running forever.
24 minutes.
Yeah, I know. That isn't very long.
And we're just running an hour, so. See, it goes quicker when you're not running back and forth.
Boy, you can tell when you haven't done anything for a week.
Why? It seems like forever.
Yeah. And I'll be going to boot camp tomorrow, and I'll probably get pass out.
Why?
Because.
Where does that boot camp lady live? She lives in Gwinnett?
No, she lives in Jackson.
Oh.
She lives in Traditions. Sherry Bore is her name.
Oh.
And she's opening the team to be fit in at Gwinnett, I mean at Mall of Georgia next month.
Team to be fit?
That's her. She's trying to get away from, because she's a triathlete. So she is trying to get away from the traditional gym and trying to do more team oriented.
Mm-hmm.
So she's teamed up with Dirty Spokes.
Yeah.
And they're going to be doing discounts if you sign up for her stuff and his stuff.
Oh.
And she's trying to do that with some other, you know.
It means you get a discount at the Xterra trail races?
Yep.
This ice?
Nope.
Okay.
And she's going to have programs. She's going to have some gym equipment in there.
Uh-huh.
But that's not what her goal is. Her goal is to train people to do triathlons, to do half marathons, to do CrossFit, and some other stuff. So.
Well, there ought to be some people out in that area.
Yeah. And see, she's been doing some at her house, and then she does a group at Bogan Park.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, with the weather, sometimes it's, you know, been too cold and too hot or for some people. And
we'll go around that barrier and then come back. We'll just weave back and forth down the lanes.
Okay. And
after we slide around the barriers.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm not sure we can go around the barrier.
And we'll go on this side of them. Kind of looks like ice right here, almost, doesn't it?
Which I think a lot, some of that, I call it boot camp, but we do some spinning, we do CrossFit stuff, we do all different things. And that's helped me a lot.
Okay, well, here's a big question.
What?
You bought it in training for 2012 shirt.
Yeah, I know.
Does that mean you're going to do it in 2012?
Yeah, I guess. Or I want to try to get some of the... I'm trying to get some of the ladies at work to start training so that, you know...
You don't think any of them are going to do half marathon, do you?
I brought it up and they were like...
Duh.
No, they... She didn't say no, but I'm like, y'all are gonna have to train. I said, so like, you know, if we want to go to Stone Mountain, I said, I gotta pass.
Yeah. Oh.
But it'll be.
The thing is if they live where it's convenient for everybody to train together.
Well, they're gonna have to do some training on their own. The one girl, Rebecca doesn't live that far. She lives in Flower Branch.
Yeah.
So she's not far from me. And then Melanie lives in Cumming. And,
turn here. Go back.
You know, so it's feasible. It's just a matter of getting, because you got to put time into it. I mean, when you start getting into, you know, 10 miles and you're
training. You can be the half marathon boot camp lady.
Yeah, I could be. And now Gainesville track is between me and Melanie, and we were meeting there some when we first started.
What you gotta do is tell them, I'm gonna collect a certain amount of money from you each week.
Yep.
During
if you
training,
don't show up.
And if you don't show up, I keep it. If you do show up at the end of training, I'll give it back to you for your entry fees and stuff to the race.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
You know?
Good idea. So it can act as a savings account and an incentive for them to actually train.
Right. So if they show up,
yep,
you'll give it back to them at the end of the time. If they don't show up, you just keep it.
Yeah.
That's for your effort.
Idea. Yeah. Because what I keep telling them is if you do the Galloway thing, they could do it.
Yeah.
That's what I can't get them to. They don't.
Just doing this 30-30, they could do the 30-30 the whole way.
Yeah. The, because.
Let's see, they look at 13.1 miles.
Yeah, you can't
from
do that.
Zero.
Yeah, you can't do that.
And what you do is you just got to train your weekly things, and then at the end 13.1 won't seem such a big deal.
Right. And like I said when I was doing this, when would I ever say, oh yeah, let's go run 5 miles?
Yeah.
Or when could I even run, you know, and not be dying? So, which losing weight helped me a lot too. So I would like to drop about 15 or 20 more pounds, because I know that would help my speed some too. So that's my struggle that I gotta figure out how to get back into it.
And what you gotta get them to do is sign up on the Daily Mile or something, so everybody can track each other, see how they're doing.
Yeah, because I like that Daily Mile. And I like getting comments from Leanne, who listens to our podcast, when my dad makes me do this.
I don't make you do this.
No, but I'm like, it's interesting.
What?
To do this.
Oh.
But,
now if we could get Brian to do it too.
Oh yeah, we'd have a family podcast. Yeah, I wish Ryan would do it, because then he would probably run with me. Like,
when he ran cross country, I mean, he wasn't ever the star cross country,
well,
but he was doing cross country 5Ks and about low 22, high 21.
Right.
Which isn't bad. I mean, the stars, you know, they're talking 16, 17 minutes, but there are a lot of guys that can't do that.
Yeah.
But he ran it for 3 years, I think. Maybe four.
Yeah. No, Chris is the one, my other brother, with the running talent, who doesn't have to do anything.
When he was in ninth grade, he went to Berkmar High School in Lilburn, and he came in third overall in a 5K race in 17-12, I think it was, in the ninth grade. And by the 10th grade, he'd quit running. Well, no, not by the 10th grade. He ran track club Grand Prix Series 1 year and won his age group and got a big plaque. But then he quit after that.
Yeah.
And even now that he's older, if he started running, he could do good. Because he's built to be a runner.
He's skinny.
About 5'8", 5'9".
And skinny.
About 125, 130 pounds.
Yeah. I didn't get that gene. I think he was the only one that did.
Yeah, but you got to stick to it and stick to it, Gene.
Not always.
Well, mostly compared to the rest of them.
But
yeah, we had two athletes. Rob was a very good soccer player. Mm-hmm. Could have been a good runner, but he just didn't like running if he wasn't playing soccer.
All right. But one thing I'm realizing during this, and it doesn't matter how old you are, you can start doing this because...
And it doesn't matter how old you are, you can keep doing it.
Yeah, you can keep doing it like my dad. But the... You hear so many people say, too fat, or I'm too this, or I'm too old. And
they can always start by just walking.
I started doing boot camp dying, and I lost 35 pounds. And if you find a good place, even doing the run 30, walk 30. Here, we're still doing run 30, walk 30. But
what are we averaging right now, can you tell?
Well, that was... No, I don't know how to do... You know, I'm not electronically... $12.38.
That's not bad.
And that shows you...
$12.38 pace when we're planning on running $13.30.
You don't have to go fast. But that was one of my things that I was hung up on for a while. That
speed?
I wanted to, But now...
Well, see, most of my running career was like that.
When you're younger, that's fine, maybe. When you get older... I look at it more of a health benefit so that when I get even older that I can continue to enjoy myself if I ever get to retire. Because there's been so many people just in, not necessarily that I know, but people that I know have known somebody that they retired and then since they died. Or
because they don't do anything.
They got sick or whatever because, I'm not saying that this is going to cure everything, but it'll make everything a lot easier.
The ones I've seen that have done that mostly have been people that work was their only thing they did. They didn't have any hobbies. They didn't do anything physical. And then when they quit working, they really didn't have a purpose anymore.
Right. I don't know, but...
So...
And, I watch that show, The Biggest Loser, and I know that they do that 24 hours a day for however long they're there, and they have all these people that are doing it, but still, some of those people, I can't do what they're doing. So,
I like that one guy that lost all that weight, and then I think one of them did the Iron Man.
Yeah.
And then I think one of them did the... marathon, but I don't know if he really did the whole thing.
Or
some kind of
at the Disney half.
Yeah.
They had the soldier that became blind from a blast over in Iraq or wherever, and he was running with a person. And
plus all the wheelchair
the
athletes.
Wheelchair people. And I watched I don't know where I'm going. I watched X-Terra race out in Utah or somewhere.
Blind guy did that, didn't he?
Blind guy did biking. How do you do that?
I'm thinking maybe he's
not totally...
He's sight impaired, but he's not totally blind.
Yeah.
So he can make out things in front of him, but maybe not clear,
But still, even if it's blurry...
You're still considered blind.
When you're on a mountain bike trail...
Right.
When you see these people that do all this stuff...
I crash on mountain bike trails when I see.
I know. There's...
Even when I'm running, I do it.
There's no excuses to not at least go out and walk, even if you're walking.
Yeah.
Trust me, I struggle. Like, this week, I didn't do anything, and I should have. But...
Yeah, you didn't have an excuse.
I didn't have
a treadmill in the basement.
Yeah, I know. but it definitely helps
really
to have a training partner.
I really didn't have an excuse because I got a bike trainer, I got
a
Nordic track, and I got a treadmill.
You got everything.
And I pretty much couch potatoed for the week.
Yeah.
But I was also thinking maybe it would help heal up my leg some if I took a week off after the half.
But,
and I think it does feel better.
Yeah.
But I still know, I think I'm going to go to the chiropractor. See if they could look at it.
Well, we're not going down there.
Yeah, we're going that way.
Oh.
We got to get to the lane. See these lanes?
Yeah. But, like I was
then
saying,
we'll turn around and go back down that lane when we get up to the end.
I'm over the speed. Even though,
yeah, but
12 years later, I was faster because I actually trained. So,
well, that's the thing. If you just do the training,
yeah, you'll be faster
you'll
automatically.
You'll be faster anyway because your base is going to be higher.
Right. Because we don't run any speed records here.
Because even when I was running and I broke 40 for the 10K and stuff like that, and 129 for the half, I really didn't do speed work like all my buddies did. Like when we'd go over to Grady's track on Tuesday nights to do intervals, I'd maybe do 4 quarters in between 60 and 90 seconds.
Right.
Then I'd go over to Piedmont Park and run 5 miles while they were still doing intervals.
Right.
And in races, they would maybe be ahead of me by about 30 seconds.
Right.
But if I would have done intervals that whole time, I'd probably been injured most of the time.
Right.
Because we weren't doing aerobic intervals. We were trying to do them for speed.
Right.
And they were, go that way, turn right around. They were trying to run under 60 second quarters, see?
Right.
Well, that's a 4 minute mile pace.
Right. Yeah.
Well, I knew that my goal was to run between 6 and 6:30 in races.
Right.
And I couldn't see
going
doing 60 second quarters to run a 6:15 pace.
Right.
And so I'd do my four token ones and then go run 5 miles in the park.
Right.
On the old cross country course. And then when I'd get through, they'd pretty much be through and I wouldn't be beat.
Right.
And they'd all be dead.
Yeah.
This side. But Arthur Lydiard's a New Zealand coach, and he's the one that I think Galloway gets a lot of his stuff from him, maybe. But
when he came to cross country camp before, didn't he?
Lydiard, no, that was Ed Mathis up from New Jersey. He was a high school cross country coach, national rank guy. Lydiard, he had all of his runners running marathon training, even the half milers or the 800 meter guys, turn around. And they went to the Olympics and blew everybody away because they didn't ever slow down.
Right, because they had that.
They could just take off and run.
Base.
And a lot of those track races, these guys try to use strategy where they will run slow for the majority of the race and then blow everybody away in a sprint at the end.
Right.
Well, his guys just ran hard the whole way and nobody could keep up with him.
Right.
And they set world records and everything. But his theory was a really high aerobic base.
Right.
And you can run faster naturally.
Right.
If you've got a base. I mean, I'm not saying he didn't do speed work at all.
Right.
But his emphasis was on distance. And then when Bill Bowerman went over to New Zealand, he learned that stuff from Lydiard. And he came back, and Oregon used to be a tough one.
Right. Wow. During the training.
Now we'll go out the gate.
Training for the half. You know, we ran several. What we ran? So 3 or 4, 10 miles.
Yeah.
Couple of 12s, and I think the.
And you did the 14.
I did the 14 by myself,
which
I was very
impressed. Which lets you know you can do it, right?
Because long runs, I usually have to have somebody with me.
But when you did that, you knew you could do
then
a half marathon.
Yeah, once I did that, I was like, well, I did a half in 2:30 just training. So I knew I could do it, and I thought I would be able to do it faster, which from that, I did about 8 minutes faster, or seven minutes faster. So.
Yeah, but 7 minutes is 7 minutes.
Yeah, oh, I know. But, so I was.
And you set your PR.
Yes. But I don't have any idea. I went back, I've run.
This, go up that way again.
This was my fourth half marathon. Because I did Disney. It might have been my fifth, because I think I did Disney twice, but I couldn't find my other certificate.
You did it more than once, I know that.
I think I did it twice. But I did it in 99, Disney. 2000, I did the Bermuda Half Marathon.
Because no,
I did
stay over here in the car coming.
The team and training. And then in 2001, I did the Atlanta Half. And I was, but I don't have any times except for that 99 Disney.
Yeah.
So I wasn't a very good record keeper.
So now you're on Daily Mile, you have
yes.
all of them.
So now we got that, and I now write them on the back of my numbers. So I keep all my race numbers. So I gotta find something creative to do with that. I might make some kind of collage.
Some people make quilts out of their shirts.
Yeah.
I don't know what they do now with these tech shirts.
Yeah, because they're too nice to. Which, that Disney Half Marathon shirt is the best shirt I've ever got.
That was a pretty good shirt.
So.
Well, we've only got about 14 more minutes and we'll be through.
Yay.
How far have we gone?
Not far. 3.67.
What's our average pace?
12:39.
That's not bad.
No.
Considering we're doing 30:30.
Yeah.
12:39 is fine. You see that guy that was listening to Jeff at that expo?
Yeah.
He was talking about a 12-minute pace. And he didn't think he could ever do.
Yeah.
Finish
if you're
doing
walking,
a run
you'll
walk.
Never finish.
And we're doing a 12:39 doing a 30:30.
I know.
So it's not that difficult.
Uh-uh.
What?
There's a bunch of ice there.
Oh.
I don't want to fall. In doing this, knock on wood, I have not had any injuries or plantar fasciitis issues. Because at one point, I had plantar fasciitis. And during this whole training thing, and I don't know if that's a combination of boot camp.
It's probably a combination of boot camp and doing it this way.
Because we do a lot of different stuff.
Because you're not overstressing, your calf muscles.
Right.
When you do run walk. Because you're switching up every 30 seconds.
Which, that was interesting, what Galloway said about stretching.
Oh, not do it.
Don't do it. Which I didn't anyway, so.
Well, I have spells.
And I would say stretching was for after I do, just because, especially after a long run, when your legs go the same,
yeah,
for that length of time, you want to make them go a different way, so stretching them.
What is this car doing? They're probably going to want to park right where
they
we're
do.
At. Yeah. Figures.
So, you know, I guess stretching is probably a personal preference.
Yeah.
But
I've been stretching, but I don't do extreme stretching.
Right.
I just stretch to where I feel the muscle.
Right.
Because I don't want to pull one.
Right.
You know. We got some cars coming down the hill. Can we beat them? Sprint to the finish.
Sprint. Yeah, we got it.
Oh, and there's one this way. Gets us to the sidewalk, huh?
Yep. Yeah. The one thing I like running out here, even though it's not that convenient for me, is except for when I come, when the time changes back, I'm going to be coming here. I'm going to try to come twice a week.
Is Lilburn Park convenient?
Yeah, coming home.
Oh.
But I mean, either one.
Yeah.
But from work, but not, I mean, it's not by my house.
Oh, yeah.
But I like coming out here because so many people.
That's because you live out by Road Atlanta.
Exercise out here, and it's just kind of a, when you're around other people that exercise, it's
a lot easier.
Easier and you know.
What was that one?
4 miles.
We've got 10 minutes to go. Let's go on this side. Oh. By the time we turn around, we're probably just about finished when we get back to the car.
Yeah. Some, when it warms up a little on the weekend, I'm going to drag Trent out here and tell him, start walking.
Yeah. He would just walk.
Yeah, that's what I... And he did
good.
That one summer.
Yeah.
He did, and he lost weight.
Oh, yeah?
And so...
What you need to do is get him to start varying his diet.
Yeah, well, I'm working on it.
He's
meat and potato chip person.
I was going to say, he's got the worst diet of anybody I know.
He does, I know. And he's not, like, overweight, but he could lose some weight.
Yeah.
So.
You know who he reminds me of?
Who?
The guy on TV that has a cooking show that has
that
blonde spiked hair. I don't know his name.
I know, and he does Win It to Win It. Isn't that the same guy?
I think so. Every time I see him, I think
they're
of
like
Trent.
Eating all these places like hamburgers and fries and barbecue and.
I haven't had one of those in a long time. A real hamburger. But I've been trying to eat better.
I got to. I haven't eaten. I'm on
this Ritz
cracker.
Of course, this week I haven't really eaten that good because...
I haven't either.
We made a big pot of chili and I've been eating chili a lot.
Well, that's not too bad. But I've been eating Ritz crackers. They're like candy to me for some reason.
Those are bad for you.
Huh?
Ritz crackers are not good for you.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. I got to stop. I got to stop eating. So today is my day.
What do you
I
mean?
Started.
This is the first day of the week.
Back.
For me, my training work week is Sunday through Saturday.
Mine's Monday through Sunday. But today is my day that I'm starting to eat better and started my exercise back from since the marathon, half marathon. Since we ate everything in sight at Disney. Even though we only ate two.
Where are you going?
We only ate two meals.
Who ate everything in sight?
Oh, all those big cheesecakes that you ate.
Well, we won't talk about those.
And the key lime pie that we ate.
Those were all health foods.
Rewards.
Well, they were health foods.
And that big ice cream sundae that I had. I figured since I was running 13.1 miles, it was okay to eat.
See, the cheesecake was just fueling my race.
And that's not always a good thing.
What?
That you get that in your head that, oh, well, I'm running and exercising. Oh, I can eat that.
Oh,
which
yeah.
In some cases you can, but not all the time.
Well, when you're burning 500 calories and you're putting in 2,000.
Yeah, I know. It doesn't work.
It doesn't equal out
very good.
That means you only gained 1,500 calories on that.
Yeah, so I got to get back to my tuna fish and chicken salad. And Brussels sprouts. And broccoli.
You ought to listen to some of the podcasts that I listen to that are vegan people.
Yeah.
Like, I think you got him as a friend on Daily Mile. over in Alabama. Yeah. Gordon used to have the Running to Disney podcast. He changed it to This Running Life.
Right.
He switched to vegan and he lost like, I don't know if he lost it because he switched to vegan or he switched to vegan after he lost it, but he lost something like close to 80 pounds, I think. And his first marathon he did at Disney, I think, was around 6 hours.
Right.
And I think he ran the one up there in Chickamauga.
Oh, yeah.
In 3 hours and something.
A marathon?
Yeah.
Oh, so he's only cut about 3 hours off his
time. Pretty much.
2.5 hours off his time.
Yeah. And he switched to total vegan eating.
I don't think I could do that.
And Vegan Running Mom has another podcast, and she's the one that is his coach. She coaches him.
Yeah.
She lives out in San Francisco. And she's a good marathoner, too.
I just don't know that I want to do a marathon.
Well, you can use the same principles for half.
Well, you can, but I know unless I do something different... At 10 miles.
Well, you know, some people just don't want to do a marathon.
Yeah, I mean, a half.
Like back when I was back when I was in my 40s, yeah, I like doing marathons. And now that I'm 69, marathons don't appeal to me as much. You know? Yeah. Half marathon's just about right.
Yeah. Oh, well, I used to
I'm
say
5K
was just about right.
Yeah.
I didn't want to do a 10K or nothing. But
I think my fastest marathon was a 3:53 and my slowest was a 5:48.
So now.
And the 5:48 was one of the Disneys where I spent 2 days in the park before the race, then did the race and died, and then went to the park after the race.
Well.
And you just can't run a good marathon when you walk for 12 hours a day on concrete before a race.
Yeah.
But I knew that's what was going to happen, so it didn't bother me.
Well, my
next... That's just the way it was.
Thing, because what did I do Peachtree in? I did it in 102. Right at
101, huh?
101.
I think it was 61 minutes.
Yeah.
Might have been 62, but...
I think it was 61. My goal is to get under an hour.
You shouldn't have any problem doing that.
For Peachtree after training for this, because that was my first thing where I thought, oh, I can do this, because I've never run Peachtree that fast as I did last year.
Yeah.
So I should be, if I can lose 10 or 15 pounds by summer. I should be able to do that.
We're closing in. We got about a minute and a half left. So we can go up in the parking lot and then walk back out when we finish.
A big entrance.
Yeah. Less than a minute.
Y'all have to suffer through all these hunger pains.
What distance you got?
4.67.
That's not bad. This Tsunto with the foot pods got 4.63.
Yeah.
That's pretty close.
Yep.
When it beeps again, we should be through.
Yep.
Maybe before that. Turn left here. Okay, ready? That's it.
4.74.
Huh?
Yeah.
Let's see what the training effect was on this one. 3.1. I was supposed to do a 2.8, so that means I did better.
We did better?
Yeah.
What, the higher the number, the better?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
This Tsunto T4 builds a training plan for you as it goes.
Right.
And today was supposed to be an hour at 2.8 training effect.
Right.
And we did an hour at 3.1, so we exceeded the goal. I got an average heart rate of 121, maximum of 134. It says I burnt 480 calories.
That's good. That's a start.
I got distance 4.69. What did you have?
4.74.
Oh, say so. Half of a tenth.
Yeah.
Difference. That's not too bad. I got a 12:49 average pace. What did you say?
12:40.
Yeah. That's that extra half a tenth. First mile was a 12:56. 1 mile.
You can blank that out.
What? You
edit
spitting?
That out.
See if that changed my schedule for the rest of the week. It only gave me 3 runs. See, I'm on training level 4 here. Today, I was supposed to do 1 hour and 2.8. And then tomorrow, I'm supposed to do 45 minutes at 3.8. Then off. And then 45 minutes at 1.8, which is really slow. And what it does is when you do these,
it changes it to go with your...
It takes it and recalculates and keeps adjusting your schedule to help you get in better shape. So, well, I guess we're about through with this podcast, so I think I'll turn the recorder off. What do you think?
That's a good idea.
Oh.
We've come to the end of another episode of the Lost Trail Runner podcast. If you want to get in touch with me to leave comments, you can go on Twitter at twitter.com/losttrailrunner, or you can leave comments on my blog, losttrailrunner.blogspot.com. You can also send me an email at losttrailrunner@gmail.com, or you can leave me voicemail on Skype at Lost Trail Runner. And last but not least, you can go to the comment line, which is 206 350-3517 and leave comments. So, until next time, this is Ron signing out. Bye.